So, early man, if you see, we have a prayer meeting tonight, and one of our brothers is going to be prayed for, and they bring him, and you see him like this. And then you join the group, and then the road man sits down and says, okay, brothers and sisters, we're going to pray for our brothers today, and we're going to all smoke the peace pipe. That's it, isn't it? Very good. Then you wake up. Then you hear it. And then he's watching the guy, if the guy is going to join him. And if the guy tries to, yes, then he's got in the room one woman in the north and a man, and then in the meantime, the patient is going to do what? Try to what? Get into it, because this is supposed to be part of the ceremony. The medicine man is going to trick the hell out of it to get back to practical breathing. We're going to tell the public that's what he's trying to do. Otherwise, everybody will walk out of the room and say, he can breathe for himself. But the road man needs their cooperation because he gets tired doing what? So he signals each one in the group, even the fourth and fifth is down there, and he says, come, your turn to that. I'm not trying to be ludicrous with this, but I've been through so many of them, and I'm looking for the actual facts behind it. And then when I sit down and talk with a road man or the medicine man, and they look at me and they say, you understand? Okay, that's an awkward thing, it's all good. I'm trying to get this guy to let his mind accept his body symptoms. And so, he is suffering with his tongue, you know, with his owl. Did you have a sort of, did you see an owl sometime? Did the owl bug you?
Oh, yeah. 2 months ago, I saw that owl, and I knew it was that.
And the whole group is just to do what? Something like an owl to what? Make him react to the owl hoot. And then he starts to go into it. And before you know it, he's up.
Yeah, I'm all right.
Good. But that's the mind matter principle. And though it may seem cruel, it works. And so then when you start to talk about it, look at it as a true objective. These laws have come through the cultural level, right up to our modern technology, and we know that the essence behind it is the actual sonic and the actual reaction that a person went through at the moment. And since they can't hear what it actually sounds like inside, we try to give sounds that are similar outside for them to relate to trigger it back, for them to normalize. Who likes the sound of a rat? Anybody ever hear a sound of a rat? Yeah. Then you want to, what's going on? Though there are sounds, and yet they seem to do three things to you. One, aggravate you. Two, make you curious to find out what's going on. And three, maybe you can use it to get rid of the fellow. Or attract him. So this is how the research has been going on. What sounds are you're going on in the body to make you feel healthy, and then they go off what the right message is, and then how to bring them back. Now, if you eat a piece of food, have you ever listened to how you smack your tongue between your lips and make you feel and laugh if it tastes good? And then if you were to record it on a tape recorder and listen to the song, oh, what? you hear that after a while, coming horrible, crude. But in your mouth, those songs were elating you while you were enjoying peace. And when something is not bad, safety or you spit it out. And that's what we were doing. This week we had a workshop dealing with conflict. Sun is the source of your existence, and musicians for centuries have tried to incorporate them to where it's relaxing you to accept yourself more. And it's not something to panic or worry about, because people understand what is going on. And so that's how come they realize that the person who was ill could be helped by some. But when you begin to work with it in terms of a therapy as a natural process in the body's mechanism, it goes deeper than music. It goes right back to the actual resonance that the spell would make when it was being formed. Now, the sperm bonded with the ovum. If you were to hear the actual sound of the ovum chewing on the sperm, but it had to do that to swallow sensitivity to its mechanism and incorporate it. And we come out duplicating it by. Sound familiar? May you chewing on anything? But that's already in the memory bank nature, in the cellular structure. But that song doesn't give you what? Any kind of feeling of being happy. But it's a very functional song that has to be there when you're eating, right? And that's exactly what the body is doing. The body is doing something what it's supposed to do versus we looking for sounds to entertain it. So don't confuse the two. The entertaining sounds are valid to shift your mind away from the actual sound. But the actual sounds have more to offer when you understand them and go back to them and then identify them. And therefore, the early men realized that the only sound could incorporate all of them was the three movements of the mouth. And that's how come they wrote that song down. And all religions tend to use that in different ways by saying Om Shalom or Om Manipadam. It's the only way, because in the full resonance of it, your whole body is pulled back to that sound. And so we, in modern terminology, it could be classified as a resonant hum, and that's a hum of the human frame when it's operating at its optimum. So it's like a motor when it's running, and its optimum is not making any indication to break down or stop. It has what? A hum. And that we know the motor is doing it. So we listen for that hum. So that's the same thing we listen for inside the cellular structure. So that intrinsic humming quality. And that's the audible life stream, right? So early man made that his goal as a religious intent. And then when the brain can associate with the octaves of it, then they call you master of your seven centers, which are really your base of the spine, the genital organs, the lumbar region, the chest, the throat, the forehead, and the top of your skull. They all have different degrees of intensity. Now, the association with the area is the intensification of your ability to stick things out longer. You call it, his will be done. Thy faith that may be whole. And all the different labels that come in, sooner or later you begin to find out you are lining up with your own internal quality of persistence. So they say those are the chakras that are opening up, those are the qualities of your endocrine system to allow you to be consistent and not to panic. Now if you panic, what kind of song would you hear inside your skin? The sound of the panic is like a bunch of glass breaking. Somebody throw a rock into the glass. Ever hear of a glass smash? That's the sound of panic inside the soul. The cellular resonance of panic is like a smashing of a glass.
What about music? A lot of our kids go through today, heavy metal or what they call headbanging.
Those are all right to help the consciousness or the mind to disengage from the stress level. And so that's why we use it as a means to de-stress the individual. That's why we use the word de-stress. Our biggest mind frame of illness is stress. Now, but there is a level of stress that is healthy, and there's a level of stress that is not healthy. Now, you can't live without stress, number one. That's not valid. Nature doesn't allow for conductance without resistance. But too much resistance is not valid either. And no resistance is not valid. So there is a certain ratio of resistance or stress that the body must confront. And therefore, growing up as a child to an adult, these stress levels vary. But because we are so programmed when we leave home to be our own self, the fixation is to take care of your lifestyle. So we ignore health for the dollar book. So that's why we get locked down into a lot of illnesses, and then we have to correct our health and get back to a more rational living. But you can't go through it until you make the mistake. You wouldn't do that. Your parents tell you, eat the food before you leave the table. How many of your parents ever told you that before you got off the table? Sound familiar? Now, after 20 years of that, or 18 years of that, you're highly traumatized. Well, who wants to eat breakfast after you get high school diploma? And so the patient walks in the office and asks you, what did you have for breakfast? Oh, I don't eat breakfast. So then, so you have for lunch? Oh, I don't eat lunch. So what did you have for supper last night? Oh, french fries. I said, you do that every day? Most of the time. With your ketchup? I said, no wonder you got the disease, sir. Who are you getting angry with? Who are you trying to get even with? And then we look at the kind of problem. I came to you, sir, because my left foot is bugging me. Are you going to ask me to step my left? I said, you know why your left foot is bugging you? Because daddy gave it to you. Because you hit and you like to kick it. And the left photograph is going to the male aspect of the body. So the therapist, I can read you like a book and tell you how many times your father told you, finish your plate before you walk off the table. Look at me, Kevin. He says, are you reading my mind? I ain't reading your mind. I don't have to waste time reading mine. I can read your body more authentically by the mechanics of it, what it's done, because that's the outcome of it. And then the patient cries out, because then they realize they're exposed for the first time what has to place to give them the illness of the body. We don't need the magical quality to face ourselves. your own nature, of your own body, you'll recall every incident. And that's why today it's not necessary to look for any kind of a diagnosis that would play upon your belief system. The facts of your body are there to be observed, and you can quicker recognize them. So most therapists now are trained to look at body behavior and body mechanics to tell them the actual truth, what took place in the early part of the individual mind. First thing in discovering what you are begins with the mouth. And the last thing that you do to discover what you are ends with the mouth. What you put in it and what you say. What you put in it makes you what you are. And what you say determines what you are or who you are. So if you put in French fries in the morning and get sick and feel stressed out during the day, the mouth is the entrance. You have to come back to the very first place. And when they cut the cord, you have to breathe with the nose. But you know they put your mouth to your mother's breast to nurse. And that's the very first thing you've got to start with, is the mouth. Then you're told, eat everything that moves on the face of the earth. You start out with your mouth. To know what you are begins with your mouth and ends with the mouth. And all the illusions in the brain is not going to change the fact that the mouth is responsible for all of it. It's where it starts and where it ends. And I show you something about this particular part of your anatomy. You'd love to hear more gossip even if your ears is bad. And there's an earache in it, you still want to hear more gossip. You want to see more behind the walls what people are doing, even if you got bad eyes. And you want to smell more, even if it's lousy. But the day you put something in your mouth and you got an upset stomach, and somebody offers you the same food, you're going to do that. Right? No other part of your anatomy you're going to do this, no matter how lousy it feels. You want to see more, you want to hear more, and you want to smell more, no matter how lousy it is. So here, the moment it's lousy down here the first time, and let's say yesterday I brought you for breakfast a piece of bread, and a 10 o'clock you got sick. And I brought you back the same bread at 12 o'clock and you got sick. Would you eat in the evening if I brought you the same bread? Are you still feeling sick? Now, if this morning I brought you the bread and you're still feeling sick, would you eat? And this afternoon, would you eat if you're still sick? And tonight, would you eat? Look, you've gone already 24 hours without eating, you're dead yet. But your eyes will not quit looking, your nose will not quit smelling, and your ears will not quit listening to all the conditions around you, but your mouth will push back. Because you know that you don't want to put more inside you to make you feel sick. Have you been through that? phenomena. Everyone in this group goes through. And that's why the who and the what begins with your mouth. And what you are is element. And there is no quicker way to learn how to behave than to put them in your mouth. And when people don't want to function, they have two choices with their mouth. Not to put in, or to put something there to stop it from taking. And when they put something to stop it aping, it's over for them. And if you don't want to put it in, they may get better by not putting it in. And they may go through all moans and groans, but in a strange way, the mouth will heal itself by not putting in anything. That's one of the phenomena of what you are. And the brain will take its lesson from that experience. But from now on, I gotta watch what I put in my mouth, right? So that I don't make the same mistake and get the same what? Belly ache? Don't forget it? That's exactly what we're talking about. What you are is centered upon movement. And therefore we come back to our friend the caterpillar. All it does is keep its way to butterfly. He ain't doing nothing more than eat. But he ends up being a butterfly. And of all the creatures designed to fly, there is none more beautiful than a butterfly. But a butterfly is not the result of an egg hatching out to be a butterfly. It's a worm who eats his way through his mouth and spins a cocoon to fool you that he's dead and emerges a butterfly that don't last. Now, that exists outside in this environment before you and I came to live in it. The DNAs and RNAs that make that object up are already in this mechanism because this is cellular structure. This is not fiber made from trees. And that's the difference. We are a replica of that principle. And our mouth will get us to our highest divinity. And therefore, Brother Jesus couldn't do anything before he strung him up on the cross than give you the master charge to eat the night before, you know? So there is where you have all the opportunities to discover and experience what you are. Now, here's one of the strangest phenomena. There were two earthquakes, one in Mexico, one in Armenia. In the Mexican earthquake, they found babies that were born in the earthquake, not having anything to eat, still living. And this last earthquake, they found many people under the ground, days after, still living, nothing to eat, the Lord to eat. Nature puts in us a certain principle in the mouth. That is, to live, or to live, to die. And once you're saying it in the mouth, you're living to die, you'll have to swallow your saliva. And the enzymes in that saliva will fulfill your craving from your mouth. So Jesus would say, it's not what you put in your mouth that defiles you, what comes out of your mouth defiles you. So you may put in the wrong bread in your mouth and you get a tummy ache. But you can tell yourself all kind of crazy things with your mouth, and you may be angry with somebody, and you'd like to tell them off with your mouth, and when you do tell them off, who swallows the saliva back? Even though you may call me a son of a gun, your mouth shares the saliva that makes that statement who ends up at the altar. I don't get the ulcer. I may get an embarrassment from my ears. Even if I don't hear it, don't bother. But you're going to end up with the ulcer because you're going to swallow your saliva. And Brother Jesus taught us how to get rid of it. Because he was put into that same position. They brought a blind man to him. And then they're going to pick his brain and listen to the charades that go on. Who sinned that this man be born blind, sir? His mother? Did the man sin that he born blind? Or his parents sin that he born blind? That means if the man sinned that he born blind, he had to live before, right? If his parents sinned that he born blind, it's heredity, right? That tells you people knew what the reincarnation a heck of a long time before they start talking about it today. That, so then he looked at them and he laughed. He decided, who you guys think you're trying to pick my brain? Need them. That's to tell them, well, put up or shut up now. You don't know nothing yet. You're still living in a who. What is more important? Now he says, neither of the two. Neither the man did it in the past or the parents were responsible. But this is the glory of God. Now that's a hell of a statement. Meaning, at this moment in time, I, Jesus, is living. At this moment in time, this guy is living. And we are two other place right here and now. And now is all there is. And I'm going to heal the son of a gun, but I'm going to make it in such a way that he will never have to be in a position to make excuses anymore. So he did that. Poof. You will not be ticketed to die with that mouth. Tell nobody. And the guy got his sight back. But then it's a hell of a thing to walk down the road if you're 30 or 40 years of age and you've been going down like this all your life. And then all just one day you walk down like this. Hey, John! What? And everybody will be looking at him. Why is John walking like this? And I look. That's the problem. His mouth would get him in trouble because he'd have to explain a who and a what. And Brother Jesus showed him in simple ways you regulate the who by the what. Once you understand what it is, you don't make the statement to break down your body no more. And if you're in doubt, so if you call me a son of a gun and you got your frustration out and maybe a primal scream and you pay $1,000 to do it in an office, get anyway, get rid of it. You follow what I'm saying? So release is there to the mouth. You already have the process set up in you by the mouth to go from a who to a what. And every night you go to bed and you're sound asleep, you're going to be safe with the who and the what. Now last night you were sound asleep, right? Did you know if you were a man or a woman and you were sound asleep? Now, if you didn't wake up, what would they do with you? And and you still didn't know if you were a man or a woman. Because last night you didn't know and you didn't wake up this morning, you still ain't gonna know. Because this frame, they'll put it in the ground. What thinks it knows? Who thinks it knows or what thinks it knows? Right now the frame doesn't even know what it is, but it's out of sleep. And next morning they don't wake up. Then you gotta to explain or who and the what inside of where. It's sounds like I'm in first and who is the second, I don't know if I'm first. But that's what's going on in all of us. The condition is we go to sleep at night and we're totally unconscious for that brief moment. We don't know. Some people say they're dreaming. Some people say they have other kinds of experiences. We wait till they finish all those statements and then come to the point when they actually stop dreaming for a split second, and they actually don't have any reference to the four metrics for that split second, and everyone would admit they were there. And at that very critical moment, Brother Jesus is referring to us, render unto Caesar what is Caesar, and render unto God what is God. And love the Lord thy God with all of your mind. That means you gotta be wide awake. You can't afford to sleep. And with all of your heart, it's gotta be pumping. That means you gotta be alive and doing it. And with all of your strength, that means you gotta be breathing. And with all of your soul, that means the livingness of your elements as evidence for what you are. That means consciousness. So the only principle or condition that is not accepted in the human form is awareness, is sleeping on the job. Every other condition is forgiven. No matter how large it may sound, it's forgiven. But given the job, there's no forgiving because Big Daddy can sneak up and unplug you like somebody unplugged that cord and start again. And this machine will be what? Totally non-functional. And many of us are brand new from the day we're born and we're breathing. But we don't remember who we are when we come to sleep. That's exactly what's going on in all of us. Still, we are forced to look at the situation and how we're put together and come to grips. You know, it makes you realize how vulnerable you are. It's the most vulnerable point in your mechanism, the mere fact that you slip into unconsciousness and you still breathe and can't relate. Very vulnerable. That's why you work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with some roof over your head while you sleep in peace, so you don't get wet from the rain and suffer from pneumonia. All of us are caught up in that charade. Picture Adam and Eve the first time they put them on a planet. Their biggest anguish is what? Rain falling that night. They didn't have a house to sleep in, so what? You can't afford to sleep. They'll get pneumonia next morning because they get wet if they're starting to sleep. You know what I mean? This is the anguish, the real anguish in the human form. The fact that it will shut down, be unconscious, and be vulnerable, and get wet from the environment, and having no shelter. Now picture for one moment, this goes on in you and I. You think the bird and the animal would not be the same predicament as the world? They're all made of what? Tissue, know, why is it? Animals have pecking order, and this is my space. Don't come and push me out of my place. You ever see where birds, when they fly in to an area and they land on trees, each one is what? Trying to establish its own little place of, because that's ingrained in their mechanism, the vetting from the race. And the birds always fly away before the rain comes. You ever notice that? They always go to some place where the rain isn't going to be there while it's there. Then they come back when the rain is gone. And man is in the same predicament. So he builds the house today with insulation stuff in the rain. And we work every day. And that's the biggest anguish why we work. The anguish is not between two lovers. The anguish is, where the hell you sleep tonight? Is it right? That's the real anguish when you look at the truth. It's not between we don't like each other, you're no. I barely sleep tonight. You got that, the biggest anguish is there. All through the history of man. And that's what the who and the what comes up. So when you understand what you are, then you can handle your lifestyle better. Because then there's no more panic, no more frustration. Each one of us is endowed with greater consciousness. That is the capacity to bring to the environment a quality that was never there before. Each one. But you have to discover it, to express it. And therefore, nature sets up her own laws to make you discover by harassing you in all kinds of ways, from a child to the adult. Parents harass you to go to school, your friends laugh at you, all different ways. But in the end, quality comes out of everybody. What is so ridiculous? The reason behind that is I cannot breathe to you. And so if you do breathe and continue to breathe, and you wouldn't have done it if you didn't want to be a winner, and since you're a winner already, you're going to express that quality that dominant is. No matter how long it takes, it'll come up. Some people are like chicken eggs. They depend on 1 day to happen. Others are like turtle eggs. They take 90 days to happen. There are a few of us like dinosaur eggs. It takes 1,000 years to happen. So some of us that take long to wake up. But that's what we're talking about. You've got quality inside what you are. It's just a matter of recognizing to wake up. But your mouth is where you start. You put it in to build it, and you talk to it to break it down. Thank you. Oh boy, this is the end. So if you don't, then you would put your own circadian rhythm out of focus. Then you're in a hell of a bind to put it back. So you have a circadian rhythm like that all the time in 24 hours. So you have 12 hours of sunlight, 12 hours of darkness. That's your basic circadian rhythm. So if you don't, if they give you a treatment in sonics, they give you one in, that's why in the Indian people, in the music, they call it raga and ragini. They don't play the music in the night, but they play in the day. Because these are circadian rhythms, tones that they're setting to the body. So if you're going to give you a treatment in sonics, you have to have one in the sunlight and one in the darkness.
or give yourself one a day and forget about it. So if you give one yourself today in the morning, tomorrow you can give yourself one at night. And that allows you to shift it. But if you do it in the same day, it must be morning or night. And night too, but not in the same time frame. Really? The chants that go on in the ancient training in the ashram, they're not the same all day. The people don't know what these masters are doing. The masters aren't any magical people. In the modern language, they're people who got sick and worked their way out of their sickness the hard way to find a simple way to stay healthy without breaking down. And they mastered illness, calling it health, calling it spiritual, because it doesn't have a person sitting in a throne waiting for dead people. So in the end, the word master is one who has mastered themselves. And I would put it this way, a master is only an agricultural therapist. In the modern terminology, he is a qualified therapist to handle illness on a physical level, emotional level, and electrical level, or magnetic level. In the ancient day, they'll call it spiritual, psychic, and material. Modern physics have come along and throw those terminologies off because they tend to lead to guilt and fear and frustration and damnation, and put it in a term where spiritual only means electromagnetic. And physical is chemical. And as far as God is concerned, he's already to know us, and he's not waiting for nobody to. And the dead. Jesus said it already, my God is of the living and not of the dead. So we're totally disappointed when we don't find anybody sitting on the throne waiting for us, let alone a devil. So up your right nose is God loving you, and down your left nose is the same God harassing you called devil. So sound waves hold the universe together, and therefore they have to have a rhythm of light and darkness. So the Eastern men discover this rhythm of light and darkness and refer to them as Raga or Ray, Ragini Rayless, means darkness. So we call it the male, female, so we're really in, what they were really saying, in the sunlight of the circadian rhythm of a whole 24 hour, you have 12 hours which certain suns are predominant in the human body that holds it together to react to the minerals in your mechanism, and certain suns that hold other minerals to react in the body. The evidence boils down. When you eat out of time, you learn your lesson the hard way because it stays in your intestinal tract and clogs you up. When you eat it at the right time, it moves out of your system and you stay healthy. So that's how come ancient men went back to cutting down on food that take too long to get out of the system and went to simple food called vegetarian. But extreme vegetarian gives you cancer just as much as extreme meat gives you cancer. So what the modern man has to learn, there are no extremes. He has to stay in the middle. And the function is 80-20. There is no way he's going to get around this 80-20. Because there are two types of cancer, alkaline cancer and acid cancer. When you're too alkaline, you have cancer. When you're too acid, you have cancer. So there's no way you're going to get around it. So the only way you can stay functional is in the middle. And that's what all these things are for. We're trying to make the individual accept what they are and stop catering to who they are, because a who doesn't give you any validity. It fosters belief, and belief fosters guilt, and guilt fosters frustration and self-destructive. But nature will provide you as many repetitions you need to come to grips in that moment of time to understand what you are versus who you are. And if you want to cater to who you are, you have till midnight eternity to have opportunity for an opportunity to play what we call reincarnation. And if you want to break the fixation of reincarnation and establish the reality of your true nature, living to live and having dominion, you can't own it, then you're not fixed to this universe. You have access to travel all through the universe at will, providing you know what you are. It's preposterous to believe a lousy planet like the Earth is the only place to live on. 100 light years of it. And she still looked like a person in her 30s. But that's the thing is what we're trying to see. More and more these ideas will be brought to our consciousness that we are consciously building up fixations about our world in which we live in and getting locked down, and it's not really valid. And once you begin to be more aware of it, you'll start to see a lot of things. So the sonic machine, when it was devised and I came into it, I thought I got gypped. It was not a massage unit. It turned out to be an entire different unit, but I had no way to validate it until that machine came along with the actual photograph to show it in the tape that you have how this thing was working. And it was an actual therapeutic tool designed for sound waves, transmitted into the mechanism. And the unit was already built in a way to have the heat and the sound occur together. In the tape that he shows, it's occurring, but they had to separate it, so they built me a big fancy unit that I got that separates the sound from the heat. But it isn't any making you more healthier. It's just that it gives the person who is working with it a differential time frame. Now, having the smaller unit that makes it easy for you to transport around and understanding how it works is to your advantage. 10 minutes of sound is the max required time on the body. Even the big unit, you can't go above 10 minutes of sound. But you don't need the heat because it's gone right through the whole system. Whereas with that, the 10 minutes of sound, the unit automatically sets up the heat. So it's a conservation of having to buy two units, one heat unit and one sound unit. So by having that, you can automatically unplug the unit, take the 10 minutes of the heat built up, and run it over the air that has been sonically applied, and apply that heat now to dissipate any residual accumulation of toxins in the area. So you have a two-in-one unit all at one time. Whereas if I had to do that with that unit, I'd have to plug up the unit and hook it onto the skin and let it run for 10 minutes on a heat ratio, strictly on heat, and then unplug. But that's when they're showing that the unit itself can generate heat and sonics in reference to the correction of the problem. Whereas in the unit that you've got, it's a combination of the two. But again, sound therapy is not a new thing, and don't get carried away with music for say a singing and chanting. That was man's way to try to get to that particular condition. You couldn't sing long enough with your voice to make any basic change in an endocrine gland. It takes too long. That's why even the prisoner of love, when it was designed, the only unit we know that can maintain song long enough to make an effective change on the gland is a synthesizer. The human voice can't, and therefore all the ashrams or temples, what they did, the wise men realized that to keep this particular resonance going on in the temple, and in order for the people there to stay healthy, they had to do it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so they kept rotating among themselves. Each one took his turn. So that's why they wrote the term prayer unceasingly or chant unceasingly. That means to keep the rhythm going long enough to make a biological change. Machinery has come along and is cutting down the time frame. But it's not going to cut down clean-up time. You still got to clean up your body. But it'll reduce the time frame to see a physical change over in your organ when it's suffering from a breakdown. So if it's taking you X amount of months to correct a problem physically by different techniques, this sound is trying to reduce it to a lesser time frame. And so you'll have that kind of a transformation going on. And I think one of our brothers here is going to be working in a unit pretty soon, or we're going to tune you up even quicker. This is already set to what your body is supposed to function
right,
as normal.
So even without the machine.
That's why if you have it going on in a room 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you sit in it and it will automatically start synchronizing the body.
So we're
trying to use as many means to make you recognize the intrinsic sound of your organs, which would take you many hours of meditation to slow your brain down to hear it. You see, subliminal sound is not easily recognized by the human ear. If you were to hear how the heart is working inside of you when it's healthy versus when it's sick, it's not a music sound. It's a sound that goes like this. Now, if you were to hear that, do you think you can handle it growing up? Some kids hear it, some kids get hit on the head and they hear it. I heard it and still didn't know. Until then I had to come to grips with it that song was the health song. So I was busy fighting it to get some other kind of a song in my head. So, you're stupid. You fall off a building and you hit your head and you really know how stupid you are. Then I'm trying to hear a ringing bell. You know, I read the guru says, the song of the bell is the heart. Well, I didn't find no bong, 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 bong. It was bong, bong, bong when I was busted up. It wasn't bong, bong when it was doing its job. So when it was doing its job, but I didn't think that was important to me. I was looking for bong, bong, bong. Then I got bong, bong, bong in a cast. Yeah. The machine gives you the resonance frequency that goes into the organ, the harmonic, and it gives you the heat for the displacement of the toxins in the location. So if the area is tight and rigid, and you run the machine over it, it will loosen up that area. The frequency will go in there to restore what is originally the trade-off. You got only two songs that knocked you off. A or B. C, D, E, F, G is supposed to keep you healthy. A will knock you out, and B will knock you out. So these are the things that cause different areas to be off, sonically. The machine goes in there to try to phase back the A or the B to be less interruptive to the C, D, E, F, G. And so the tightness starts to let go. Then the heat is the added reward over the swollen area with the gas trapped by the impact reaction of the blow that falls to a sound. That may appear to your eyes as a friendly pat. As far as my hand is concerned, what the hell are you doing, Adano? Hurting my your skin for nothing. See what I mean? So this is what you don't realize. And then the sensation, well, oh, that's definitely it. But as far as the cells are concerned, if you were to take it, you were to hook it up, you'll see that the sound is distorted into that area. And we don't realize how vulnerable we are until we have these instruments to show us the amount of stupid things we do all day in our bodies. And so the wise men realized that over the centuries and tried to put it together. Now we're coming closer to realization that environmental sounds are already locked up into the tissue. And if you can hear them and identify, then you can quicker correct the problem in the body. And that's what they were trying to do, to get them to line up so you can hear them.
So the machine actually takes it out. It starts to set the alignment so then the machine doesn't even work.
Yeah.
And that's what trauma then locks in the body is really sound, whether it be from mama, daddy,
You familiar with this one?
Whatever.
Are you familiar with this one? Finish your food before you leave your table. Huh? You heard that. Good. You know what it really does to you? That's why we're trying to get units to put them together in terms of what the body reads. And when it hears that type of frequency sound, what it does and what organs get knocked out to get output reading. And if you work, a friend of mine is working now to show it on a video. That's what it looks when you talk, when you touch the machine, it radiates out the actual healthy sounds of the organs, and then when they're distorted, what these sounds look like. So we're coming closer to the fact that you don't have to believe you're sick to know you're sick. Evidence will show you what is making you sick, and then you can automatically start correcting it from the sound waves. See, sound waves are audible and they're inaudible. They're called subliminal. But the inaudible level is to insulate you against frustration. So when it's amplified, then you can recognize what has triggered it, and if it comes from which trauma or which person's voice that triggered it, and what they were saying, it will register on your body to deplete you. Therefore, many different means have to be developed to insulate you. And so how come the yogis develop things like bracelets and all these things to insulate the body from these sonic resonances from breaking it down. Otherwise the body will break down. And number one, karma, which is cause-effect reaction between the elements, can only collect their payment from the human body, because that's where the human body is put together for it to collect it. But then the wise men have come to realize that it's not a practical thing to make the body always account for all the mistakes it makes. So compensation is made by virtue of physical effort. So things that you use that require some physical effort to acquire, that can act as what is known as a shunt, because they also have to be made out of basic elements. And your relationship is based on the magnetic attraction or repulsion to its application. So, but left to it, this body must pay the cost back to all its mistakes or its misapplied decisions by being harassed in a form of sickness. I didn't make it, I'm stuck in it. So Brother Jesus comes along and tries to show us in his own nature that the Christ power is there and you have the right to correct the problem. Did you get your Christmas present? No, that's a factual question that was given here.
No, I wasn't.
Who didn't get their Christmas present? Raise your hand. The year of the dragon ends next month. It begins again in the year 2000. Christ consciousness being given to the initiate would not have been given before. Yeah. Most people work towards Christ consciousness as an idea or a goal. Christ consciousness is not a goal. It's an investiture in the structure of the human being from the day of creation. But the human being is not going to know that until they go through the evolutionary structure and have to work from belief to understanding. Jesus, when he was in the body, he demonstrated what the Christ consciousness was to only those who knew what he was talking about. The general public didn't know what he was doing. In creation, it states, "Come, let us make man." Who is the us? Good. Make a manifestation, that's a form. Male and female created them. That means attraction, repulsion. So every male person has a sperm and an ovum in them, and every female person has a sperm and an ovum in them, but they have one of the two functions predominating, the attraction or the repulsion function. That means the dilation or the constriction function. The male dilates, the female constricts. That's the nature of their structure. They were then given the power to go forth and Xerox themselves, which is to have reproduction, and to have dominion over the universe. It didn't say ownership. By the same token, the investiture was given to them, but the investiture was the Christ in them that they didn't know about. Until the human being works their way through belief and quit belief and arrive at understanding, they will not recognize what the Christ power is in them, and they'll be looking for it and trying to work towards it at some goal in life. Jesus was lying in a boat. A boat floats on what? Good. He's sleeping and he's pretending to see what his students will do under the set of circumstances when another substance started to harass the boat. It's called wind. So we have water as one element to float on, and wind is another element to make it miserable, so that those on board will feel what? The panic or the fear is going to drown in it. And then they began to worry that the boat is going to sink with them. And then when they tried to wake him up to tell him the boat is sinking, he opened his eyes and he said, "O ye of little faith," telling them they didn't understand why they were, what they were doing. Then he looked at the wind and he said, "Peace, be still." He didn't tell the wind not to exist. He told the wind to be still, that means to play somewhere else. Equally true, he told the elements in Lazarus, "Get the heck out of the grave. Elements can't kill you, but they only can harass you, and that's all they really can do. And you're a form, and you're the highest form, you're God in the flesh. So get the heck out of the grave and start living to live and stop living to die." Then he told the rich man, "Go sell everything because you can't own anything." And that's the essence of Christ's power in everybody from the day one to now. We're moving into the Aquarian cycle, the year 2000. Either we're going to live, and those who are living to die will be phased out faster and faster, quicker, because the elements are moving in to do their job. Their job is to harass us, because they put us together. God is his own devil and his own life principle. But those elements will harass us, but they don't have the right to kill, because an element can't kill itself, and an element can't not exist. So we can't tell it not to exist. An element is immortal, therefore we are a foregone, conclusive, immortal, existing creature who just don't understand what the heck it is. But as long as we believe and want to believe and hope to believe and want magical powers like a kid in a car, don't want to get behind the wheel, the elements will provide an outlet to satisfy your attitude known as living to die. And as soon as you enter the ground and you become soil, you start disengaging back into the elements again, the elements will wait for you ready to pick up the body and breathe again, and therefore reincarnation is an ongoing result of living to die. Living to live, free men all, Lord of yourself, and he that overcometh I will not send forth a second time, but I'll make you a pillar in the house of the Lord. That means you understand once and for all, you always will be here till midnight eternity, you ain't going nowhere, but it's best to understand it in a carbon-based body and not a sulfur, a silicon, or a methane body. Those types don't have the ultimate quality put in them. You have the ultimate quality put to you as a carbon base, but you have the most suffering to endure and the imbecility of having your memory turned down so that you fumble your way through like an animal back to a human being in a God state. Christ consciousness is not a goal. It's an understanding of what you are. You have the investiture to tell the elements to play somewhere else, but you can't tell them not to exist. And the elements have every right to harass you, but they don't have a right to kill you. Therefore, you're already immortal. So when you were approved for initiation, most people think I was doing that initiation just for ego. I have no ego in this thing. My concept of having you approved was not just for approval for initiation. I use that as a means to see if the elements really approve you to have your Christ consciousness given back to you. So when the rain fell and the rainbow showed up in the sky, that was evidence that they approved to let you tell them to play somewhere else and not to take away your life from you. But they have every right to harass you till you get so destructive to yourself that you want to live to die. But once you recognize what their role is, and that's how God wants the best out of us, because you can't get the best until you harass it, and that's why he called the devil, you ain't going to put up with the idea of living to live. You're going to always want to live to die to phase out. But while you're in the world, you're the light of the world. When you shut down and fall asleep, that's the only thing Jesus and all the other brothers will condemn you for, because then you're shutting down your Christ power again. There is no sin in this universe other than not loving the Lord with all your mind. And to not love the Lord with all your mind, it is pure life of living to live, is to fall asleep on the job. And if you are wide awake 24 hours a day, your body is revitalizing itself and you have all the 24 powers assigned to you. 3 have been recorded, but you don't rock if you decide to go on cosmic vacation. 2, you can take your body and nobody knows where the hell you're gone, because you don't have it to leave for them to play around with. And 3, you can be visible or invisible and they can't photograph the heck off of your face. So they shoot all the cameras and still they don't record. And then you got 21 more other beautiful things waiting for you to enjoy. And the whole universe is your home.
I believe all of that with all my heart. I have a question about what grace is.
The Christ consciousness, once it's understood, there is no grace. Grace is only for people who believe, not for people who are Christ conscious. Christ conscious people have only one song. You want to sing it? You had it given to you, but you don't use it. Tells you right there and then that the elements don't have any way to kill you. They put you together. They're outside of the skin and they're inside of the skin. The skin is the container called I Am Presence. Most people don't understand why they have a skin. They're looking for some God sitting on a throne going to glorify them in the dead when the God is already there. You can't see him. But that is I Am Presence. That skin that holds the whole thing together. Outside and inside, the 144 elements. And elements can't destroy, because how are they going to destroy themselves? Not possible. Therefore, it's a foregone conclusion. Elements are immortal. Energy equal to mass times the velocity of light squared. Einstein don't prove that already. You ain't going nowhere, but you can live all kind of belief games in your head till you accept to understand what you are. And what you are is I Am Presence, directing elements to relate. Only the initiate has that given to them. That's why many are called pure frozen. The rest out there will never get what you just heard. They'll be constantly looking all over the world and believing in all the different things. And Brother Jesus isn't going to interfere, because he said it already. He that doeth the will of the Lord is my brother, my sister, and my mother. He that followeth in my word is my disciple. But the disciple is not above a master, and the master is not above the disciple. It is enough that they be friends till they get the understanding to stand on their own 2 feet. As long as they want to be passengers in the car, belief and magical powers will be there, and ATG will be there, attention getting syndrome. So Paul grew up after he realized that this was not true Christ nature. He said, I don't want that anymore. I want understanding. So from then on, he focused upon understanding, and when he got the understanding, he decided to go to work for himself. Well, by that time, the Romans didn't like people who work for themselves, because that put them out of business. So they crucified him. To this day, he don't work. But that's the proof that an element can go any place anyhow. But we have to live with the illusion of believing until we come to the reality of understanding. And when you understand, you're fortunate. That's grace now, the real grace, to understand it in a carbon-based body, because the elements will show that silicon, that glass that is made from silicon, allows light to pass through it. And diamond is like a glass that allows light to pass through it. But between the two, which one will cut it into pieces? Together, if they don't hit each other, they'll stay for eternal, till midnight eternity, if they don't bump each other. So the glass wouldn't rot and the diamond wouldn't rot if they don't bump each other. But if the diamond get bumped by the glass, because the glass wants to show off, it thinks it can radiate light more better, it'll find out it can't. The diamond will cut the pieces. We are made with this body as a grace over the other type of body that we had, to give us the last investiture, that is, to him that overcometh, I will not send forth a second time, but to make him until in the house of the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God which is within you, and his righteousness will free you, free men all, Lord yourself. Understanding frees you once and for all. You heard it. It's working on you to hold you together. What I said to you is to make you aware that you're permanent and you ain't going no place, and you can apply it better. That's all. But then you have the option, and this is your freedom, and that's the one thing that cannot be taken away from nobody, the right to their individuality. You have a right to live, to die, or live, to live. This is your right. Now, if you breed, that's proof given to you when they cut the cord. And the option is for you to apply breathing to live to live or breathing to live to die. I can't take away that from you, and I'm not going to prevent you from doing it. Because that is your freedom. That's your cross. That's the scope of your horror. Jesus didn't tell me to pick up his cross, he told me to pick up mine. I had to come to grips with it to find out, what am I doing here looking for Christ when I can't find it in something I'm looking for, which I'm already a container of. And when I understood what I am, then I had to quit living with the idea to breathe to die. So I have to breathe to live. Otherwise, I'm breaking the very facts of the truth. There is no God sitting on a throne waiting for dead people. And Jesus himself said, my God is of the living and not of the dead. Now, if he's of the dead, I'd have found him there when I fell off the building, because I was dead for sure. But I found him when I breathed. And now we joke about it, because all the other saints are looking at me, and they only have one mantra in their eyes. You know, I thought they would have given you the mantra of some magical power. And you know what the mantra is in their eyes when they look at you? Breathe. Breathe. I'm breathless down there. Can't even breathe on the back. Breathe.
Just gave us the answer. Actually, you say many are chosen, but few are frozen. And then you just said understanding freezes. Well, understanding freezes.
Congratulations. Not to that, I see somebody understand what I'm saying. No, isn't freezing a form of a suspended animation from non-decomposition? Which gas you think can do that in your body? Carbon dioxide. And too much of it, they'll throw you in the garbage bin. And none of it, you blow it up like a balloon. So you have to have a little carbon dioxide, and that's why Eastern man call it Shiva, CD. The destructive element of the carbon dioxide is the D, and the constructive element is the C. So carbon dioxide has a refrigerating function of preserving the body, and it has a destructive function of being too much in the body. So, class 2, you know, of solar nutrition, if you took it, hydrogen does what to you? Who didn't take class 2 in solar nutrition? In class 2, you paid for it if you took it. Now, you hear the answer there? Hydrogen is the gas that controls desire in the human body. Nitrogen is the gas that controls willpower in the human body. And oxygen is the gas that gives you consciousness in your body. It doesn't give you intelligence, and it doesn't give you wisdom. It gives you consciousness. And between the three of them, you end up making a waste gas called carbon dioxide. So there's a statement that goes like this. You guys may be smart with your nose and your eyes, but I am the anus. I'm boss here. If I shut up and you guys don't come out, you're going to find out who is the boss inside of this machinery. Imagine your automobile without a tailpipe. You ain't going no place, right, sir? And that's exactly how we put together. Carbon dioxide is an exhaust gas because we are carbon-based. and we have three gases working inside of us to keep us functioning. The hydrogen gives us the craving to do things. It's called desire for the psychological label. Nitrogen gives us the will to stick things out. And so if you don't have nitrogen in your body, you will break down. If you don't have hydrogen in your body, you can't crave nothing. And oxygen gives you consciousness. So the yogis say, union with God is existence, that is atoms, they don't go no place, they're permanent. Consciousness, that's the gas, oxygen, that allows you to be aware of their existence. And the interaction is called anandam or bliss. Too fast or too slow, you're stuck in it. But that's the name of the game. If you breathe, they keep you. But you got to breathe on time. And if you don't breathe, they pour you back in the ground with the elements to start you all over again. So you're either too fast or too slow. And I can't change it, I'm stuck with it. But I am fortunate to have the grace that the Christ invested that is put in me with a carbon-based body to understand it, and that's the real grace. The other bodies don't have that investiture. They are great, but this is still the ultimate. You got it, and it takes the most vicious to have it. So, you don't realize what you have until you put it to the test. But my brother Jesus and all your realized brothers and sisters will tell you, many are called, but you are frozen or chosen. So, approval for initiation was not just for initiation. I didn't want to get involved in an ego trip. It was more of an approval for you to have your Christ consciousness awakened in your head so that you have it to apply. So that's why I use that approach. Now that you know what Christ consciousness is, you are free, Lord of yourself. And the song is very simple. We sing it at initiation to get you aware of it. And as you become more conscious of what you are instead of who you are, you know beyond doubt that it's not belief or magic, it's laws of nature already set up for you to apply. And what would a Christ-realized person do with their Christ consciousness other than to be a cosmic nursemaid? Those who want the magic are the little babies. They have to go believe. Don't hate them for it. That's their role. You who have the understanding is the mature son of light, God. And therefore you are free. But you got one role, cosmic babysitter. You call it unconditional love, doctor. You can't own the element, and you can't tell them not to exist. But you can tell them to play somewhere else. And they can't kill you, but they have every right to harass you. So between the two reciprocal reactions, you have the ongoing condition called relativity or Maya or cosmic movie house. And creative intelligence put it together to enjoy it inside the form. So build me a temple that I may dwell in the midst thereof. In the beginning was the Word. It doesn't sound like music. And the Word was with God, creative intelligence. And the Word was God. The dividing line between the elements outside and inside our skin and dwells in men. It dwells in the manifestation of the skin, the I Am presence. But when it understands how it's put together, it is Christ, the light of the principle, radiating in the form in the cosmos. It's called God in the vibratory state, or cosmic creative intelligence within the vibratory structure of matter, known as the Christ. These were all labels for that particular scientific term. Modern science knows it today as the creative intelligence in the vibratory structure of matter. It's omnipresent and it's total control, and it's not a person, it's an investiture in a structure. And every time the human form recognizes it and understands it, they're free. It's a freedom that leaves you no longer vulnerable to a single element in this universe. But you can't own them. You can't tell them not to exist. But you sure can tell them to play somewhere else and don't bug you the skin where you play. So where is the skin playing right now? Tucson, Arizona, in Jody Knudsen's house. So last month I was in Flagstaff on a Wednesday night, and we were singing the song. It was Christmas week. I was in the month of that time of the year, there, in December, and I was giving those people their Christmas present. And after we finished the song, went home, next morning you're seeing on the TV earthquake in Albania. Then somebody says, how is that Adano? Why should these people suffer? And I pointed out to them and